Congressman, thank you for taking the time.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to ask you first, before we talk about this committee meeting that's going to happen, I want to ask, when the president said in his State of the Union address that oil companies have leases that they can be using, to drill right now on private land, and they're just not doing it, was this correct? Is it true that oil companies could be helping bring the price of gasoline down that people are paying?
Well, first of all, it's not only just the leases, though. You know, then you have to, then you have Fish and Wildlife, then you have the EPA, you have all other federal agencies that are involved in finalizing the ability of oil companies to do their job. So, yeah, there may be some leases that they technically have for specific areas, but and they're inactive because they are struggling with some of the other federal agencies that also they have to get past so that they can do their job.
What is it going to take to bring the price of gas down? Because now we're hearing that Europe is likely to sanction Russia. And I think the analysts are saying that this is only going to make gas prices and oil prices go up.
Well, obviously, it's a big challenge. But the one thing that the United States can do, which is unique, is prior to the pandemic and prior to this administration, we essentially had the ability to be energy independent, and that's not only natural gas, but oil. And so, you know, that creates a lot of leverage when the United States has the ability to independently not rely on foreign sources of energy. And so since we've had this administration, you know, block pipelines, not only Keystone, but others, and do what I said with other federal agencies to prevent oil companies from doing their job and bringing oil and natural gas out of the ground. You know, what that has, the president has also then started to ask countries like Iran and Venezuela and also OPEC, well, maybe you should increase your production to get gas prices down in the United States. And then he's releasing oil from a strategic petroleum reserve, which is not for this use. It's not to help him politically get gas prices down because his polling numbers are down. It's in case of a national emergency. So, you know, on the United States side of this, you know, we have the ability to influence the worldwide market because of our ability to produce energy. And then that doesn't even take into account the geopolitical aspects of being energy independent and what that can do for our European allies, particularly in Eastern Europe, and to decrease their dependency on Russian oil and natural gas.
So, I mean, I guess to put it in one sentence, it is to increase our own independence.
I think that's right. And what that will do is influence the world economy as it relates to the oil and gas industry and help to drive down prices. And, you know, energy kind of drives inflation overall. So, you know, when you have the ability to be energy independent, you know, you're going to have more control. The other thing is, you know, last year we had the American Rescue Plan, $2 trillion of federal money thrown into the economy, which, you know, not a single Republican voted for because we were worried about inflation. So it's not just making sure we're energy independent. You know, we have to quit flooding the market with federal dollars. That all that does is help drive inflation and help drive up fuel prices.
Some of what I've been reading about the oil industry says that these companies that can drill are not going to drill, that some companies are not willing to invest right now because of some Biden administration policies. What do you know about that? Have you been talking to oil industry people and executives?
Well, I haven't talked to any executives myself personally, but let me just say this, the uncertainty that is created with the administration and their potential policies going forward as it relates to the energy industry, of course, is going to affect private companies' decision making. But the other thing is the Biden administration, through other federal agencies, is doing everything they can to discourage the banking industry from financing and allowing companies to access capital to produce this energy. So they it's kind of almost a perfect storm. You have on one side the administration putting in policies that make it difficult to get leases finalized using other agencies. And then they're discouraging the financial sector from investing in the fossil fuel industry and putting a tremendous amount of pressure on banks and other financial institutions to basically debank the fossil fuel industry. So, you know, if you were an energy executive going forward, what were your, would your thoughts be when the administration is doing all of these things? Again, not only inhibiting your ability to finalize leases and get things out of the ground, but then on the other side of it, preventing you from accessing capital by trying to influence the banks and other financial institutions not to lend you money and not to support your business. So, you know, when you do those things, you get the result we expect. Like you see behind me, you get high gas prices and you get uncertainty in the marketplace worldwide, because the United States, again, has the ability to be energy independent and influence the worldwide market, not only on pricing, but geopolitically.
What do you expect to hear in this meeting today? Or I guess maybe I should ask, do you have expectations in this committee meeting?
Well, I think it's, I think you're going to see an interesting hearing, because you're going to see two completely different narratives coming from the different sides of the aisle. The Democrat side, they're going to blame the companies and say they're price gouging. And our side of the aisle is going to talk about the things that I just mentioned to you, the economics and the business of energy. And, you know, that these executives are trying to endure. So, you know, we're in a free market here. It's a free market economy. And, you know, not everybody is are angels, of course, in our in a free market economy. But the reality is, it is the Democrats are going to blame this on price gouging and greed. And that, I just don't think that's true. It's a market condition that has been created by the administration and by some of the policies coming out of Congress that have put these executives in a tough position.
What do you think Congress can do to help relieve both the energy problem and inflation?
Well, honestly, not much, because we don't have, you know, Republicans don't have the ability to pass anything out of the House for that matter, because we're not in the majority. And so when we suggest, you know, reasonable policies as it relates to energy, that doesn't happen. So I think you really see the Congress at a stalemate and really ineffective in trying to address this, because some of the things that we do pass out of the House are not going to get through the Senate, and are policies that the administration may agree or disagree with. So I think, unfortunately, you know, in this circumstance, because of the makeup of the House and the Senate and the relationship with Congress and the executive branch, that there's not much really we can do other than try to get the message to the American people about what the real problems are.
When you talk about the relationship between Congress and the executive, is there a relationship between President Biden and Republicans in the legislative branch?
I think there absolutely is. You know, the president was in the Senate for a long time. I think a lot of senators on both sides of the aisle have a great deal of respect for the president and what he's done when he was in the United States Senate. So I think they have personal relationships with the president. And I think they have policy disagreements, of course. But I do think there's opportunity to work with the administration if Capitol Hill Democrats would be willing to come to the table and look for solutions that we can all agree on. So, you know, I don't think personally that the relationship between the Congress and the executive branch necessarily has to be bad. It's just that there's no working towards common ground in the Congress. Again, I think there's personal relationships between the president and many senators on both sides of the aisle that potentially could be very valuable going forward if we could get, honestly, the House to do anything that shows that they're willing to find common ground.
Looking at judging the future by the past, do you think that the party in power will end up paying a price for what's happening now with inflation and energy prices?
Well, I think yeah. If you talk to the American people, you look at the polling, of course, and I talk to my constituents on both sides of the aisle when I'm in my district, I think that will be true. I think most people look at pocketbook issues. That's the cost of gas, the cost of groceries, the ability of them to provide for their families as frontline issues. And that's what the polling currently shows. But it's not rocket science. This is always the major issue for the American people. You know, the American people want policies in place to make it easy for them to live their lives, make a reasonable salary, but also pay prices for products that we expect to be fair and to be lower than they are today. So I do think there's going to be a pretty substantial change this fall as it relates to the election based on these pocketbook issues, unless things change. You know, and I don't see the administration or House Democrats pivoting, because everything that you see, they think, well, it's just a messaging issue. It's not their policies that are the problem. It's just that they're not effectively getting the message to the American people about the quote unquote successes of the administration. But I would beg to differ, because the problem is actually the policy and it's not a messaging problem.
As you look at this issue, both going into the Energy and Commerce Committee meeting and just the studies that you've done on it, what is your message to Hoosiers right now who are struggling, who are having to pay twice as much as they were paying for gas, and who are having to do that at the grocery store as well?
Well, help is on the way. I think, you know, when November comes and House Republicans hopefully take back the majority, you know, we're going to show the American people that we're going to put policies in place, like getting control of our debt and deficit the best we can with a divided government. We're going to, again, show the American people that we want to open up the American energy industry, make us energy independent, and quit being dependent on foreign governments for our sources of energy. And, you know, we're not going to be passing any more $2 trillion bills and flooding the American economy with government money when we know historically that that usually leads to a level of inflation that the American people just can't tolerate. So those are the things my message to my constituents is, it's the policies of the administration, and that it's not a messaging issue, and that help is on the way come this fall to put more reasonable policies in place to get the cost of things down.